Shleim Angel Pasha's Tzavim.
In the name of the Shabbat, Parshas Vayelech, he mentions on the Haftorah of Shuva Yisrael something which is Negea to Elul. And he says that some time ago there was a Bocher learning in Ponovitch Yeshiva. And for some reason or another, he had a meshbar, something went wrong, either health-wise, it's not clear why, and he left the yeshiva. So if he left the yeshiva, the government got to know about this, and he ended up in the army. He was still from in the army, kept all the mitzvahs, but the problem was, it was kerach mikan, but kerach mikan. Because the yeshiva bochrim, well, they were learning. So they forgot about him, because now he was in the army. The chevra that he was with in the army weren't exactly friendly with him. He was a different type of person. Because he dumbed, whatever, for whatever reason. They had a different sort of life. So therefore he was very lonely. And one fine day, he gets a message from the office, and he says, there's a letter for you. So he's very surprised, from whom could he get a letter? It seems that he wasn't on good terms with his parents either, for some reason. Actually, because of that, I don't know. So he goes to the office, and they give him this letter, and he looks at the back of the letter. And the back of the letter, who is it from? It's from someone called Shmuel. So he couldn't remember which one of his friends was called Shmuel. Who's Shmuel? He opens the letter, and in the letter it says the following. Lechvoid, the name of his bocha, Yekiri v'ahuvi, my dear one, my loved one, le'elm shahaloi gato, wherever you might not have reached, wherever you're found, I want to meet you and to speak to you. Well, that was a very warm letter. Who's it from? It was signed by Shmuel Lozovsky, that was Rosh Shiva Ponovitch. So when he read this letter, and of all the hundreds of bochum that are in Ponovitch, the Rosh Hashiva himself, Reb Shmuel Lozovsky, sends him a letter to say that he wants to meet him. He didn't need any second bidding. He left the army barracks and he went to Ponovitch Yeshiva. And there waiting for him indeed was Reb Shmuel Lozovsky. And they spoke together the whole night, it says. The whole night they spoke together. And the next morning, this Bocher decided to leave the army completely. And told the army so, and he went back to yeshiva. So, first of all, you see this inyan of avada when it comes to yom hadin. There's always this yom hadin that we're all being judged as Klal Yisrael, and what's going to happen, nachmol etzon, and it should never happen what's happened in the last year. And we hope that the next year it'll be free from all these tzoras. And also, we mustn't forget that every yochid counts, every individual. Every individual counts, and we're proud of that. No, it's like Bishvili Nivra Olam, because of me the world was created. Everyone gets judged individually. Everyone is special in their own right. Hashkocha Protis as opposed to Hashkocha Klolis. So that's one thing. It's brought down it's a Moridiger thing, really. There's so much to learn from this. In the old Gateshead diary, they used to have stories. And one of the stories there was the story of the Bovva Rebbe that was fearing Tish on Leil Pesach. And there were many, many people there. All had their own matzahs in front of them, the stomach, but many, many people there. And the Bovva Rebbe had seen the Halberstam, Zeichet Tzalei Brocha, Hashem Yinokim Domei. He was fearing Tish. He hadn't started yet. He looked around at the Olam. Then he called his Gabba, and he said to his Gabba, "Where's Yeshua?" So the Gabba said, "Which Yeshua?" There were quite a few Yeshuas around. "Which Yeshua?" So he told him the Yeshua, and he told him the name. So go and find him. Now, implying we're not starting the Seder night until we find this Yeshua. So he goes to his, he's in the yeshiva, this Yeshua, he goes to his bedroom, the Gabba, and he sees that Yeshua is writhing in pain. What's wrong? He's got a toothache. Goes back to the Rebbe and says, "Rebbe, Yeshua is not coming because he's writhing in pain." So the Rebbe said, "Well, in that case, I've got tablets for that. You go into this place, you get tablets, and give him the tablets," which he did. He went to him, he gave him the tablets. After a bit of time, he came downstairs together with the Olam, and they started off the Seder. Now, one of the things he was told by the Gabba, this Yeshua, was, "The Rebbe had gefragt, where are you?" The Rebbe asked where you are. So he said these words, "The Rebbe asked where you are," that followed him all through the war years. Where are you? Because we might know the Balatanya says, when Ayekor was asked from a Keshboch to Avram to Odom Rishon, Ayekor, the Balatanya says, doesn't Dafka mean Ayekor, where are you? Because Keshboch knew, Ayekor, where are you standing at the moment in the world? Where are you? So that's what he always remembered, those words. The Rebbe gefragt, wo bist du? The Rebbe asked, where are you? So whenever there was a half a minute that he might do something which was a bit iffy, wasn't quite right, he remembered those words all through the world, where are you? So Lemaisa, it seems to be, it's obvious that we've been asked the same question when it comes towards Rosh Hashanah. Where are we? I echo. But every individual is loved, and it's as if, he says, the Zilberstein says in his Sefer, he says, this letter that he got, this Bocha got, we all get. We'll get a special letter. When it comes to the month of Elul, there's a special letter for every individual posted through the door, so to speak. And the letter is saying, as the words are, Yakiri Ve'avi, Rebid Lo'on Shalei Gato, wherever you are, Eifo Shato Nimtso, wherever you're found, I tell you, I am here and I want to speak to you. And that's Yimei Elul, really. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to speak to everyone else, but let's do something. Yeah, we open the letter, we read the letter, and the letter says, wherever you are, Lo'on Shalei Gato, I want to be able to speak to you, Yakiri Ve'avi. And that's something we have to appreciate. The Maaseh, he does say that some people perhaps have got the wrong concept of Elul. We have to be careful how we use this one, but it's got a wrong concept of Elul. Why? Because some people perhaps juxtapose, they put the Elul together with a Rosh Hashanah. It's not really Rosh Hashanah, so it's a bit vague what Elul means. What is exactly Elul? So Elul is the Metzias of Elul. But he says Elul, Lemaisa, is a time of Simcha. It's time when to be very happy. During Elul, it's a time when to be very happy. It says, what's the raya? If someone would be asked, what can you imagine is the happiest time that would ever occur in Klal Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael? What's the happiest time? So some would say, well, who can say it's any happy time? You might say Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, everyone will be happy, everyone will be smiling, hopefully it'll be wonderful. So he says, well, we don't say that every morning. We don't say that every morning. Every single morning we say, Yirai ma yom umloyoy, Yalat sasor v'choshaboy, Ozirano kuratse yoah, we don't find this anywhere else. When is this taking place? Lifnei Hashem kivo lishpuris oretz. Before the day of judgment, everyone's happy. That means before every Rosh Hashanah, we say every morning, that before Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be a very happy time. What's the happy time? The happy time is taka, is the Inyan of Elul. Elul is a very happy time. Why is it happy? Because it's a time when people can put on those food extras and they feel good, and then the Shama feels good that whatever's been happening during the year, but there's always this bit of extra in Elul. We that one or two things we used to do, now we're going to be mechazek ourselves. Everyone, surprise to everyone. At kiyom v'shila v'lo yikasamim. This is going to be. So this is the pshat, it's a time of simcha. Rabbi Socha Frant writes in Parshas Kisovoy, I saw this morning, Davka. I've seen it before, and I saw it again this morning. Where he talks about the inyan of, he talks about the inyan of Simcha, and he talks about the mitzvah Bikurim and mitzvah Bikurim. The Rambam says was such a time of Simcha. It's phenomenal, the Kabbalistic. So he says, what was so special about the Simcha of Bikurim? What's so special about it? So he says the mice of it is that the Bikurim, it was a time of happiness, because happiness comes from within. If a person thinks they're going to get a happiness with money, forget it. It doesn't give them it, you know, for a fact. And he brings down examples of people that were millionaires, and they had money, and they thought that money's going to be the answer, and nothing in talk. It didn't happen. I remember still when I was younger, then I remember the richest man in the world at that time was Paul Getty. Paul Getty, and I once read up about him, the tzoras that he went through, this fellow. There had no happiness either from his children, not from his life. What sort of happiness? I also remember reading about this person that had a private jet. He was a multi-millionaire, had a private jet, and of course the office was in the jet. So he used to do business deals, or had a secretary in the jet, and having all the necessary equipment. His secretary, by mistake, Beshoigig, Boinus, whatever you'd call it, or Barotze perhaps. Barotze, she, there was a paper clip, a clip that clipped a few papers together, and she took the paper clip and she threw it into the dustbin. And he hit the roof. Well, it wasn't very healthy to do that. I mean, not physically speaking, he hit the roof of the aeroplane. Because he said, what do you mean you're throwing a clip into the dustbin? What would you do that for? It's a waste of money. And because of that, she had to get bizyonis. So what exactly is it? So the answer is that it could be in a te'ina shebichra, one little te'ina that was bichra, it doesn't matter. We're happy that we went through all that we went through, and Baruch Hashem, we've got this te'ina now, we take it to Yerushalayim, because happiness comes from within. And this is sort of simcha, and we imagine the same thing applies to Elul as well. That when a person feels that they're doing something better, and it's a amazing thing, you see people come and they discuss things, you know, I feel I've got to do better, we all have to do that, and we feel a sense of happiness. It's a simcha. And that's what Elul does, it gets us into position, and when it comes to Meir Slichas, then it's even more focused, hopefully, until it comes to Rosh Hashanah, hopefully we're well prepared for it. The Sfasemes says that one of the reasons why Parshas Kisovoy comes before, well, Atem Netzove Mayoyim is usually referring to Rosh Hashanah. Atem, whatever it says Hayoyim, it's Rosh Hashanah. So Atem Netzove Mayoyim, we've got this week's Sedra. This year it's a bit different. One week different. But Atem Netzove Mayoyim, the Mephoshim say, one of the explanations is Rosh Hashanah. He says Parshas Kisovoy comes before Rosh Hashanah, because the key, he says, to understanding how we get to a Rosh Hashanah is the key is Akaras HaTov. It's Akaras HaTov, to appreciate what we've got. Appreciate what we've got, and we've got so much. Forget the blaming game, forget shouting at others, what exactly have we got? So Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz used to quote to us, Ma'isonin Odom Chai Gever Al Chatov. My son in autumn, the Mishnah, what's a person got to complain about? It's enough that he's alive. So he used to say that Father, the ups and downs in life. But if a person is happy within themselves, and hopefully there's enough reason to be happy with themselves, because Baruch Hashem, my son in autumn, it's enough that a person's alive. So that should give a person happiness. And if a person of other has got an avodah, so we see in aslichas and other such things, we feel that bit better. And that gives rise to simcha, which is so important. Otherwise, if there's nothing happening, which Baruch Hashem we are, I'm just saying the negative here. I saw again another Rebbe Socha Frant, which is already the makor of that, is an interesting makor. He doesn't mention the makor. But the point he's explained beautifully, Kedarka B'Kodesh, he explains this. It says in last week's Sedra, Voyiso, you'll only be rak lemalo, you'll only be up, v'loy siya lemato, and you won't be down. So he asks, and he says, one of them before him, what's the pshat in that? You'll only be up and not be down. I mean, we don't need this old nursery rhyme, the Havdil, to tell us, and when we were up, and when we were down, we were down, and when we were, died, we were in the middle of someone died, up nor down. I mean, so what's the trade Akhtosha telling us, the Havdil, the dollars of other? Well, you're going to be up and you won't be down. So he says a very interesting point. He says, some people seem to have a shtickle fake going up, lemalo. The things that make them lemalo and they think they're good, it's not really their own avoider. Really, they're lemato. They're way down. They're down. It's just that they feel good about that they're doing what they're meant to do, and they're kaporas, and for before Yom Kippur, and about the tekiyah shofar. So they've got sometimes a false, if I can say, the full sense of upmanship. They've got a false sense. They feel up on them, and our motto, Yom Kippur, wow, we've done our duty now, right? Now we can look forward to all the necessary and sukkahs and avdas of Simchas Torah, of other. But is a person, he says, really up? It could be they're down. And the brocha is, you'll be up, but you won't be down. You've grown with it. And when a person grows with it, it's a very big difference. Then it comes to a Rosh Hashanah, and a Seisim Yitshuva, and Yom Kippur, and following that, they feel they're growing with the Zman, because they're making an effort at the same time. They're not thinking about what happened in the past, Dafka, as Moshe Meir Wachtweigel says, one has to think what's going to happen in the future. And we're building for the future. And the way to build for the future is taking this Zman of Elul. So Rebbe Sfasemer says, HaKoras HaToiv is a very, very important thing. Amake Toiv, it gives me a certain simcha, and that is the area that we have, that we work on, he says, before Rosh Hashanah. So Vayola Oretz, you come to the land, you make Toiv, you preach what Kishbog was done. If you look, one looks in this area of HaKoras HaToiv, whether it's Pesach, and one looks in Siv Sechaim, or other Yomim Toivim, I think the Matzio talks about the HaKoras HaToiv in the Chanukah, and Avada, when it comes to the end of the year, we are hopefully on Makit Toiv, we appreciate what we've done in the past. There is an Alei Shur. The Alei Shur says, Taka, this is the Alei Shur, the one that says, Oziran Natsayar as well. It's also a Pshayim of Olba, which we brought down before. But he says, what's the Pshat in HaKoras HaToiv? So he's got an interesting, I mean, it's Dvorim Efshe Pshutim, but the way he puts it is, that HaKoras HaToiv, to appreciate the good, he says, is it quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says, Omreb Choma Breb Chanina, a person that gives a present to his friend, Ein Tzorach Lodiyoy, doesn't have to tell his friend that he gave them a present. Ein Tzorach Lodiyoy. Who do you learn this from? You learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a present, Ki Koran Oir Ponov, that his face was shining, and Koran Oir Ponov, and he didn't know about it. V'lo Yoda, he didn't know that his face was shining. So we see from here that a person that gives a present to his friend ain't so good idea. So the Gemara says, well, how does that we reconcile this with the Medrash? The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I've got a very, very special present for Klal Yisrael, and that's Shabbos Shema, but basically Nozai, in my treasury of Shabbos Shema, and go and let Klal Yisrael know before I give them the present what I'm going to give them. So from there we learn that a person that gives a present to his friend, he needs to let him know. So the Gemara's got a deal about this and says, Kan Davide Legluya, depends if it's going to be known anyway. Kan Davide Legluya, if it's not going to be known. So the Gemara goes into this, but at the end of it, the Gemara comes to a conclusion. It says, and therefore, a person that gives a present to a child, let's say Pas, the Tenoik, so I imagine it's something like, nowadays it would be, let's say, it gives him a pass, a piece of bread, a sandwich, and it's got, let's say, chocolate spread in it. So he needs to make an ois on the a sign on the boy, the young boy or young girl, whoever it is, that when he goes home and she goes home, what have you got there? Oh, someone gave me a bread. Who gave me the bread? Let's say the name of the person that gave him the bread. And as the Posuk, and as the Gemara says, he should say, Rashi explains, Lasis la ois v'simon shemichlenu kodim shiyove le'imoy, that Teres ois shall see the chocolate spread, whatever it is, but that she'll know, mi osa l'chodkach, who gave you this? This is the person. He also gave me some bread. The father and the mother knows that he likes them. And that will be marbe chibur reis b'yisrael, because that's what we need. We need to be marbe chibur reis b'yisrael. So now this father and mother will know that the person that gave their child the bread is called Yaakov ben Yosef, let's say, or that he likes us. And that's very important, because that is marbe chibur b'yisrael. Says Reb Shlomo Volber, explains, b'shem is Rebbe, and we see from here, not as we might think, that kras atoiv, or not appreciating what one's been given, is a maila, and a yisrael hechsha. It's not a maila dafka. It's not a maila. It's a chiyuv. It's an obligation. When we receive something which is good for us, it's an obligation for us to be maketoiv, to appreciate what we've got, not to say, to see what we have got. We've got, as he puts it, one of our fashion puts it, Meroiv koil, yan shevado, Hashem lekecho, v'simcha v'tev leva, Meroiv, what we've got to do is make from the roiv into a koil. People think they've got roiv, yeah, but I could do with a bit more, and I need a bit more, and I need a bit more money, and I need a bit more this, and a bit more that. Meroiv, rather think that the meroiv is like a koil. Because Esau said, Yeshli Roiv, but I could do with a bit more. And Yaakov Avinu said, Yeshli Koil. Yeah, whatever I've got, I'm happy with, and I'll build with that. So this is the pshat. He says that we have to, it's a chiyuv. So he says this chiyuv obligation is ben odom lechaveroi, what a person receives any form of toiva from one's friend, or it can be ben odom lemokoim, or it can be ben mokoim leodom. Kadosh Baruch Hu's got a kras hatoiv for us. And how do we know that? How do we know Kadosh Baruch Hu? He brings down the Ramban in Parshas Nosai. The Ramban in Parshas Nosai says that why, when it comes to the Karbonas HaNasiim, and every single Nazi was makriv a korban, it says, Nachshuv na benodov, korbonoi, karas kesev acha, shleishu memeo, mishkolo, and it carries on. And then it says every single shevet, and the same thing. So the Ramban says, why does it need to repeat itself each time? Just say Nachshon Abinodov, and then say, well, etc., etc., etc. Every single one came along and was makrib the same korban. Says the Ramban, V'chein ikriv anasim ish yoimoi, because if it's not going to be said, ki ekitzu b'chvoidu achirim. Oh, Nachshon Abinodov is the first one. And what about Mati Don? And what about Mati Zvulun? Oh, that name isn't mentioned. Well, you can imagine a makir of the same korban. That's not right. Why is he? It wouldn't be right. And why is he mentioned just because he's Nachshon ben Aminodov? All right, he's zoicha to it. But what about us? So every single one has got to be mentioned. Says the Ramban, lahagid shoyshkulim lefonav yizborach, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is makir toiv, and so it's with Pinchas, heishus chamosim al bnei Yisrael. So not only is that cross out of binodom chaveroi, not only is that cross out of binodom lemokoim, there's also a cross out toiv bein mokoim lebnei odom. That Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates what we're going through, and in the way if we appreciate what we're going through, if we appreciate what we're going through, Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates what we're going through, that is good for us. That Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates, which is very good. So any time we do that bit extra, as we said, we do especially at this time of year, that kibiyochel Kadosh Baruch Hu is a cross out toiv for us. Which is a very good feeling. Should be a very good feeling. So he says, don't think that this midah is dafka ben odom chaveiro as well. It's also a midah ben odom la'atzmoy. It's a midah between odom la'atzmoy, between a man la'atzmoy and himself. Right? A man and himself, midah ben odom la'atzmoy. What's the midah ben odom la'atzmoy? So he explains, a person, nothing to do with anyone else. A person's akoras hatoiv has got to be, even when no one's around, and he himself is the one that's got to be makatoiv, to appreciate what he's got. And in that way, there won't be any complaining. And anyway, we said in this world, there's no time for akpodos anyway, to be complaining about someone, to be, one has to take the blaming on oneself very often, not point a finger at someone else, as the Mefarshim say. But, so, and that will also give an element of happiness, hopefully. But he says here that the inyan of akoras hatoiv is, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he's not allowed to start off the first three makas. The first makkah, he's not allowed to hit the water. And the second two, he's not allowed to hit the ground, because each one, the water and the ground, did him a toiva. Did him a toiva. So therefore, it's not up to Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the water, because the water protected him. It's not up to Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the ground, because it protected him, because it hit the mitzri. He managed to bury the mitzri. But the water's got no seichel, and the ground's got no seichel. And the answer is that it's not meant to do with someone or something, dafka, or even bin Adam l'mokoyim. It also has to do with bin Adam l'atzmoy. That if a person, there's so many toivas, no one's around, but one can say thank you or appreciate it even though no one's around, because I appreciate what's been done for me. So strictly speaking, I mean, it's not much. If a person's got a pile of sforim, or he's at home and he's schlepping in fact two chairs, and he knows he's got to have to juggle it a bit because he's got to get through the door of the lounge or get through the door of the kitchen, and there's no one around, and the door happens to be open so he can go straight through, he has to say thank you. Who's he saying thank you to? No one. Well, he's saying thank you to the person that left the door open, or the fact that the door was open. So he's saying thank you. It's just to appreciate what's going on. Beinoy lebein atzmoy. So it's not bein adam lemokim. It's not bein adam lechaveinoy. It's a hakoros hatoiv beinoy lebein atzmoy. It's in him and himself. And there's so many areas for that to be grateful for, to be maketoiv. It's very important. Reb Dessler says a similar thing. Reb Dessler says if Moshe Rabbeinu would have hit the water, then his hakoros hatoiv, the midrash, would have been impaired. It wouldn't have been so sensitive. But the more a person appreciates what's been done for them, or what's happening to them, then within themselves, they'll be hopefully happier people. Which, as we said, it's a very important time, especially in Elul. Perhaps we can, it says that perhaps we can notice things that bit more, things we haven't noticed before. Efshe now, during Elul, where, and especially in Me'as Slichas, when we're getting into the sharper focus, as we said, that will help us out. There's even when it comes, it's an interesting story, but we've said when it comes to a doim, something which is static, a person has to be careful. Let's go to tzemeach, something which grows. We've got to appreciate what's growing as well. I don't know if I've ever mentioned, there's a book by someone called Dr. Moody, which deals with near-death experience. Nabil Schwartz brings it down quite often in his Sefer Guf and Neshama. That's how I got on to know that such a person called Dr. Moody. And he went through a near-death experience. It goes through all the thousands of people that interviewed in this near-death experience. And he said that anyone that went through this near-death experience was never the same again. Never the same again. It gave him a Zah washout. And when he came to again, he wasn't the same person. One of the things he mentions there is that someone was in a hospital, and when he woke up from this near-death experience, the first thing he saw was a rose in front of him. He saw a rose. And when he saw the rose, he burst out crying. So they asked him, what are you crying about? So he said, look at the beauty of a rose. He's never had a cross atoiv how beautiful a rose is. So why? Because the Chumash Lava says one grows, excuse the pun, but one grows into it. So everyone's used it, roses and more roses and Shabbos and Yontem and roses. But this person had gone through a near-death experience, had come back again, and the first time he saw this rose, it was such an experience. It was so moving for him that he started crying. He writes that in his book. But it gives an understanding that even to be makir toiv, that we have a rose, is important. It's a nice color. To make it to a rose, it's a dover year two. It's a dover year two. I only know about it when after I read it. But Rav Gustman, who was a Rav Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim, an Odom Godel, he was at a very young age. He was already paskling shilas in the basin of Reb Chaim Oizer. And once he went to walk with Reb Chaim Oizer, and he went to a forest, and they were talking in Torah, and I don't know if it's every few minutes, I'm not sure, but Reb Chaim Oizer stopped and said, you know, this, I don't know if it was a mushroom, this mushroom is poisonous, I don't know which plants, but I'll give you an example, and this mushroom is alright, so and then he carried on learning, and he said that this is good, and this isn't good, this you can eat, this you can't eat. So he was wondering why Reb Chaim Oizer was telling him this. And he unfortunately soon found out, because during the Second World War, he ended up in the forest of Gusman, and he was very hungry, and he remembered which plants Reb Chaim Oizer told him were okay to eat, and which plants weren't okay to eat. He comes, after the war, I think he lived in Rechavia, and outside on his balcony, I think it was he had plants, and he used to water the plants, I think, every day. And we asked him, what's so special about watering the plants? I'm makitoyv to these plants. Why am I makitoyv to these plants? Because these plants did me a toiva. Not mamash these. But I want to somehow remember what it was like. I'm a cross of toiva. I don't want it to be impaired. Someone told me a pshat. When it says in the posuk, Va'ani alal tzvosoy, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Va'ani alal tzvosoy, I can't speak properly. You want me to speak to Paroi? I can't speak properly. So what's the pshat? I can't speak properly. So if I'm going to go up to Paroi, I'm going to stammer or stutter, it won't go down very well. So Aaron HaKohen, he's got to be the one. He's got to be the one. So the Mefarshim asked, if Moshe Rabbeinu could have a power, had such a phenomenal power at tefillah, and he was shokel keneged klal Yisrael, why couldn't he be mespala kushvoku, please get rid of this stammer, get rid of the stutter, then I'll be able to speak to him properly. So one of the Mefarshim says he didn't want to get rid of his stammer. Why? Because he reminded him of when he was a boy, and he was always makitoyv to this phenomena. It's like he could have been a dead person at the age of a very young boy. Because when Paroi was told by Estagnino, by stargazers, this boy might be a threat to you, he said, well, let's see how clever he is. And they put precious stones, put a bowl of precious stones, and brought it in front of Moshe Rabbeinu when he was a young boy. And then they brought hot coals. And if he's clever, then he's going to take the precious stones. If he's not clever at all, this is glowing, it's going to touch them. So he was going to take the stones, and boom, and then his hand was pushed aside, and it touched the coals. Ow, that hurts, and boom, it went straight to his mouth, and that impaired his speech, and he never wanted to forget that. He never wanted to forget. That's how far Akoras HaToyva goes. He didn't want to forget this Akoras HaToyva Inyan that saved his life. So that's much about it. Even Simeach, and I've had the Chai. You imagine to yourself, all right, we might know that Yaakov Avinu, it said to Yosef HaTzadik, go lichno, go and see a shleim achecha of a shleim atzoin. So you see the shleim of the tzoin, of the sheep. So we see from there that he was very interested in the sheep, because the sheep could have a cross of toy for the sheep. When eventually Pashas Vayishlach, it says that Yaakovinu came back to Eretz Yisrael, and then he came to Eretz Shechem. So he came near Shechem, and he made sukkos, ulu mikneo osa sukkos, and then it says, they call this place sukkos. So who's the they? So Reb Zalman Sirotzkin says, for the goyim, they saw Yaakov Avinu building sukkos for what? For whom? For the animals? They'd never seen such a thing in their life. Who cares about the animals? I mean, the animals get boiling hearts, so few of them will die. They're uncomfortable. They're only animals anyway. And who cares if it's pouring and it's ice? So who cares? I mean, they're only animals anyway. It was such a chiddush for them that Yaakovin was making sukkahs for the animals, that they call this place sukkahs. Wow, look at that. Phenomenal. Sukkahs. So we're trained, the Torah trains us, it goes with us through all the different areas, how important it is, the Indian of Akoras HaToyv. In small things as well, Rav Tzofen talks about it in Parshas Vayetze in detail, the smallest things we can be so makitoyv for. To appreciate, a person was going to trip and they didn't trip. Thank you very much. To whom? To what? To when? There's no one around. That's Ben Odom Lamokrim. But even something which we can see is Danas HaToyva. It's also important. And I wonder when it comes to Chai, or it comes to someone that lives to be Maket Toiv, if there wouldn't be anyone around, we wouldn't be able to manage. So we've got to relate to each other, which is becoming very difficult in today's world, when people, as the Balei Musa say, people are much more into themselves. So they don't always notice, unfortunately, what's going on around them. See my slave. And it forces us to appreciate that we're all in this together. I'll end off with the following story that I saw a few days ago. So it's a very sweet story. We always say, we try to always say, whenever possible, or even if it's not possible, but enough coming up, we try to say this over again and again, that there's no such thing as an Odom Poshut. Adrabah, sometimes a person that's known to be very great can be an Adam Poshet, and a person that's called a Poshet Yid can be very great. So we don't know who's Poshet and who's not Poshet. But this is a story that very often these stories you see about great people, we do need them because we can do the same thing as well. It's not a problem. When it says, the Vilna Gaon says that they said, Yeshua, Kipnei Alvona, Kreb Noisha, Kreb Chamo. The face of Moshe was like Chamo. And the Pnei Yeshua is going to be the next leader, Kipnei Alvona. Oilai lo yisei busha, oilai lo yisei klima. What a terrible thing. Look at the dips in Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. So we wonder ourselves, how could Kenan Shabbatai, it says, said that? How could Kenan Shabbatai say such a thing about Yeshua? The answer is, says the Vilna Gaon, the answer is, when it says, I think it's brought down in Kodi Leo, the answer is, what they were trying to say is, who was Yeshua? What did Yeshua do? He made sure that everyone had a seat when the Shir of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was arranged a safsalim but Beis HaMedrash. So he said, oy lo yisei busha, we could have done the same thing as well. A balabos looks at a Rosh Hashiva. They can also do the same thing as a Rosh Hashiva. Yeah, but there we can't daven as long as him. We're sort of in the balabatish world. What's left given? The Torah is a Torah for everyone. People sometimes put themselves down unnecessarily. Who knows which tefillahs, the ones that are going to be accepted, as we know, especially when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. What, just to arrange the Salam Beis HaMedrash and always to be there with Moshe Rabbeinu? We could have done the same thing. They were blaming themselves. We could have done the same thing as well. That's who they were blaming. And no one could be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, as Kri Alvana, but they weren't complaining about that. Adon Kolamim, but they were complaining about themselves. So everyone could do that. So this is the portion of Maisa. This is what we'll end off with. But the Maisa was like this. That there was a younger man, let's call him Reb Reuven, a younger man living in Eretz Yisrael, and this younger man had a dira, which he inherited from his father. Had a dira, a flat, and he thought, well, I've got no need for a flat at the moment, so what I'll do is I'll rent it out. There was a bochad in yeshiva at the time who was divorced and he wanted to carry on learning, but so he didn't want to be together with the oilem in the yeshiva, to live in the yeshiva. It was a bit, he didn't feel part of them in that respect, so he wanted to rent a flat. So he rented a Reuven's flat. And every month, this young man gave rent to Reb Reuven. Time goes by, comes to Shaduchim of Reb Reuven's daughters, it was very difficult. His oldest daughter, 1 year went by, another year went by, he was looking and trying to find, she was a special girl, it didn't work. She reached the age of 25, and he was starting to get desperate, it seems. He met a friend in the street, the friend said, I've got a shidduch suggestion for you. No, let's hear, what is it? It's someone that's divorced. Oh, someone divorced, I won't. Then he thought to himself, she's 25, I think, my daughter. Who is it? He didn't have to look very far. It is that young man that's renting your dira. It's renting your dira. So he said, all right, well, I'll look into it. He seems a fine man. I only see if he just comes in or perhaps puts it in the letterbox. But he said, it's a gem of a boy. He's a gem of a boy. So I'll make inquiries. So he made inquiries. Taka, mamashup was like that. He learned well. But midas were exemplary. So he asked his daughter, do you want to marry someone that might be that was divorced, if you like him? He says, well, I'll try. The Mets went very, very well at the age of 25. This bochur went very, very well, and they broke the plate, and the shidduch took place. At the end of the month, he comes in, the chosen comes in, and brings in the rent for the dira. So his future father says, you don't have to give me rent anymore. This dira is now yours. It's yours now, no problem. Oh, he says, he doesn't have to pay rent anymore. That's wonderful. Would be the end of the story. And they got married, and the taka lived happily ever after. The problem was that this Reb Reuven had another daughter. And that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu works with Shiduchim. This daughter, suggestions came up straight away. And one came up straight away, oh, gewaldige Shidduch. Very chosh of a Shidduch. But we need some cash. The other side said, you've got a daughter, you have to pay. So he said, well, I think it was a dira, or perhaps a lot of the dira. He didn't have any money left. So what he did was, he started getting to Gemachim. One gemach, another gemach, another gemach. We got together some money, nowhere near as much as he needed. So he had to go to the outside. Sorry, I very much want your son as a son-in-law, but I just haven't got the money. Ooh. That evening, I think it was, it must have been that his son-in-law got to know about this, and he comes in to his father-in-law with a wad of dollars. I mean, it must have been $100 notes, and he says, "Here's some money." It was quite some money. Quite some money. He said, What's this? He said, "Look," he said, "you did me a toiver. You brought me, now I was divorced, you brought me into the house. I've got a wonderful daughter. You've got a wonderful daughter, and I've got a wonderful wife. This is what you did to me. I agreed with my wife that every single month we're going to put aside that money which I normally would have paid for schar dira. I don't know if it's schar dira. That I normally would have paid, and when the time comes that you need the money, I will have all that money to be able to give you. And here's the money." And they all lived happily ever after. Right, so I hope we'll do the same. We'll also live happily ever after. Baruch Hashem, we're coming to our Yom Adin. Zachrinu l'chaim, melechovitz b'chaim, v'chasvinu b'chasev l'chaim, l'mancho l'kim chaim, b'ding v'sfoyur l'kim chaim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, have a cross atrei for us, for the effort that we're putting in. We'll have a cross atrei for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Baruch Hashem, we should come to the end of Yom Kippur by saying, b'sef l'chaim, b'rocha, v'shonu v'nasot toiva, ne'zoche v'ne'choseim l'fonecho, anachdo v'chol amcho, b'yis Yisrael l'chaim toivim. Thank you.